We'll open in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you and praise you that we could gather together tonight and look into your word. Lord, you have spoken to us, and we ask that you speak to us tonight. Lord, we ask that you bless this study to our minds, to our hearts, Lord, and then by the work of your Spirit, encourage us that it comes out in our lives as well. Lord, we thank you and praise you. We pray this for your glory. In the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. All right, so Romans chapter 1. Last time we looked at the wrath of God revealed, starting in verse 18. We made it through three verses. So that's pretty good. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in by their unrighteousness. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world, in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. So we notice that God's wrath is being revealed. We noted the current, that is in the present. Okay, it's not God's wrath is going to be revealed, but it's God's wrath is being revealed now, okay? And we're going to see how that plays out tonight. Against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth by their unrighteousness, okay? So we looked at that what can be known about God is plain, all right? His divine power, his eternal power, his divine nature. So everybody on this planet who ever existed and who will ever exist has some kind of knowledge of God, okay? So in other words, if somebody tells you they're an atheist, they're lying. Because in their heart of hearts, they know that that God is real. Now they're not going to know that his name is Yahweh, who revealed himself to Moses, who created this world in 6 days, made Adam, right, redeemed the Israelites from slavery in Egypt, sent his son to live and die on behalf of sinners, okay? But they know that there is a divine being, eternal power and divine nature, divine being out there who has made stuff in this world, okay? That's how it is, okay? They suppress that truth, right? Verse 18, they suppress that truth. Why? In their unrighteousness, by their unrighteousness. So I introduced you guys to Tony, remember? Tony grew up in church, okay? Never was, he wasn't a believer necessarily, he wasn't a believer, but he was learning some things. He knew that God is real, right? Maybe he could say the Lord's Prayer, like as a kid growing up in church. But then as time goes on, he's just not wanting to have anything to do with it, right? He finds out that this God punishes liars, okay? He kind of likes to lie because he gets away with stuff when he does that. So he, instead of submitting to God, he pushes it into the back of his mind. Well, I don't like this God. Okay, maybe I can get away with this God, or without believing in this God, okay? Because I'm a liar and I like to lie. That works out well for me. So because of my unrighteousness, I'm suppressing the truth. Then he goes to college, right? Oh, and the Christian kids go to college, right? That's a big deal. And it is. I don't want to make light of that. But a kid growing up in church goes to college, right? I think we often think it's the good arguments of evolutionary theory or philosophical ideas or, you know, whatever it may be that pushes the kid away. I think what Paul's saying here in Romans is they suppress the truth by their unrighteousness. So Tony goes to school and he's hearing all these things, but I think what throws him over the edge, according to Paul, is all the other stuff that goes on at college. They suppress the truth by their unrighteousness. Okay, so I mentioned on last time, it was the sex, drugs, and rock and roll that through Tony, that, you know, that's the unrighteousness that informs him, that causes him to suppress the truth of God. All right? Then later, yeah, then he will attach to some other things, but we'll look at that later tonight. And then Paul justifies the claim in verse 19 and 20. Why God's wrath is being revealed, how people are suppressing the truth in their unrighteousness. He's justifying the claim that the word atheist is a misnomer, because everybody has some kind of knowledge of God. Because he says, what can be known about God is plain to them. He's shown it to them. His invisible attributes are clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world. Finally, then, so they were without excuse. So this is where we pick up tonight, verse 21. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of God, the glory of the immortal God, for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. So, although they knew God, Paul says, they is everyone, right? Every living and breathing human being that has ever graced this planet. Although they knew God, what? They did not honor him or give thanks to him. Okay, so this is we're entering into the trajectory of evil, a downward spiral of wickedness. This is kind of cause and effect all the way through, where it's stages as we go through all the way down to the end of the chapter, verse 32. We'll see that, and I'll draw that out. It's getting deeper and deeper and deeper into depravity. Okay, and really, this is the wrath of God being revealed. Okay, as humanity cycles downward in their depravity, as they're living in unrighteousness, suppressing the truth of God. Okay, those are the first couple stages. The next stage is they're not honoring God or giving thanks to him. Okay? So we're seeing God, and instead of worshiping him like they should be doing, we're pushing it into the back of our minds, and, you know, eyes down here, everything goes on. But then as it progresses, you see at the end of the verse, because they didn't honor him or give thanks, they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. All right. Now claiming to be wise, it's going on and on and on. This is the wrath of God being revealed, right? It's not hail fire that's raining down like Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay. But the wrath of God in this instance that Paul is talking about, at least, is humanity eating the successively rotten fruits of their increasing rebellion against him and suppression of the truth. Okay, so in sin, humanity suppresses the truth of God, and now we're not honoring him, giving thanks to God. Although they knew God, Paul says. Now, this isn't the knowledge of God that Christ brings us to, right? An intimate knowledge of God. This is, although they knew God, like a very narrow range. It's a limited understanding of God. Only what's available in nature, as we saw in verse 20. But this knowledge has failed to produce a true knowing God. Okay, as in a relationship of worship and gratitude to him, and instead they're sinking into idolatry. Okay, so this failure then, this failure in worship and gratitude, did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, this produces a futile mind and a dark heart. They became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So a futile mind is their thinking, it's their reasoning, okay? So the sinner is not able to reason well. Now, how does that match up with the Enlightenment? You guys familiar with the Enlightenment? It was all about human reason, right? Now, that Enlightenment stuff has crept into, not crept in, that's very much the foundation of our society, is human reason, right? A rational, want to be a rational thinker, a rational person, okay? Now, in some instances, that's, you know, it's not necessarily a bad thing. The sinner's reasoning is messed up, okay? It's screwed up. We're futile in our thinking. So it's in the human reason that this futility has taken place, and it shows that whatever their initial knowledge of God might be, okay, the sinner does not have a natural capacity to reason accurately about themselves or to reason accurately about God. And because of that, okay, so was it Descartes that said, "I think, therefore I am," right? That I'm a thinking person, which that means that I have being, okay? And that means that that my entire being is wrapped up in my thinking, in my ability to think, okay? I'm not sure. Descartes may be listed as one of the old Christian scientists. I'm not sure. But that's not right, right? So he's reasoning there, but that's because he's reasoning in his futile mind, okay? Because no, we my thoughts, right, are not the basis of who I am, or my identity is not given by, is not informed by my thinking about who I am, or it's not the reason why I am, but all that is God. God is the reason why I am. He's the one who made me for his glory, right? And my thinking on the subject is corrupt because I'm a sinner. So that claim, at least as an example, is futility in their thinking, and then their foolish hearts become darkened. So Tony, then. So he suppressed the truth of God because he really liked his sin. So now, because he's suppressing the truth of God, right, he's not worshiping God and thanking God. So now his whole reasoning system is messed up. All right, so his thinking is now in futility, but he still sees all of these kind of God evidences around him, right? God's divine power, or eternal power and divine nature, the signs are still there. Well, Tony, what are you going to do with those evidences of God, right? What are you going to do with the fact that a scientist can't answer where the bang came from, right? Or where the substance of the bang came from? Scientists can't answer questions about the, what is it, irreducible complexity of the human eyeball and not many other objects as well. The scientists can't answer where morality comes from. What's the basis, the foundation for morality? There's tons of questions that science, philosophy, whatever else, can't answer. But you have to do something with them, right? You have to come up with an explanation. But because we're already suppressing the truth in our unrighteousness, not honoring God and giving thanks to Him, now my mind is messed up. But I still see those things, those evidences. My foolish heart is dark, and now I have to do something about this. I need to reason it out, right? Need to reason those evidences out. So Tony, he can't do that rightly or accurately because his reasoning, his human reason, is out of whack. Okay? So now all that college stuff about evolution and naturalism, materialism, any other kind of spiritualism, probably any ism that you can think of, I guess, wokeness, right? All those things now grab onto his attention, okay? And he's going to latch on to that stuff because those are now those things that after he's pushed, because in his sin he's pushed God out of the picture, now he's going, he needs to find answers to life's questions in a way. Now these other things are making sense to a mind that can't make sense out of truth, all right? Okay. So, you see what's going on in our world today, right? How much of this stuff that we see on the news is just ridiculous?
Ridiculous.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
Right.
Right? So, oh my goodness, I have to watch. So we're all about being green, right? So we tell Russia to drill more oil so that we can buy it and shut down our pipeline, right? We have a bunch of rich people flying around in their private jets, okay, who live in giant houses, who are flying around the country to yell at people for and try to make them feel guilty about using too much gasoline, trying to get people to live in 1,500 square foot houses, I think is the, I heard on somewhere that was like the green sweet spot. 15, if you go any bigger than that, then you're bad. Let's destroy black owned businesses as we protest the unjust treatment of black people. I mean, we can go on and on and on, right? It doesn't make sense.
To you.
I know.
I mean, to me it doesn't make sense, but you have a lot of warped minds. That's the thing,
right. Tom, what is a woman?
Oh, dear. I'll ask my mom that question.
I think you're supposed to say, I don't know, I'm not a biologist.
That's what she said, yeah.
Yeah, right. It doesn't make sense. It's absurd. Okay? But I guess we can say that it doesn't make sense because we know what sense is, and that Christ has brought his redemption as he bore the wrath of God on our behalf. Right? The foolish hearts that our foolish hearts that were darkened through the Spirit, he regenerated and enlivened, quickened them, brought them into life, changed our minds, right? So that we see, right? I once was blind, but now I see. All by his amazing grace. So yeah, what I don't want to do also is just make this seem political, in that Democrats are non-Christians and Republicans are Christians. I don't mean it like that. There's, I guess if you watch Fox News nowadays, you'll see that Republicans have this messed up too, right?
Right.
Hiring the woman of the year, I believe, what, for some magazine or something, the man who was the woman of the year. Yeah. So
yeah,
for something. was he.
Yeah.
He.
All right. Keep going.
No, no. That brings up a good point though. It's when you're dealing with those things. This made sense to me that anybody can change your name, right? I can change my name to Steve. I could change my name to whatever. Okay? That doesn't have to do with my like biological makeup in any way. But the pronoun, that does. You know, that's kind of tied to your chromosome. So I heard from a Christian pastor or somebody was trying to deal with this stuff. He said, call them by whatever name they want to be called by, whatever. But pronouns, it's
you still keep the pronoun.
It's keep the pronoun as natural. Yeah. And I mean, we don't have to be ashamed about that because, you know, it's not they're the one whose foolish minds their minds are futile and their foolish hearts are darkened, right? And they're the one who are trying to override the way that God made them. Anyway, yes, Republicans can be just as much involved in this stuff, but also, I mean, it's not just that stuff. It's any kind of bad thinking in any way, selfishness, right? With materialism. Divorce. I mean, you make your list can go on for different things there. yes, it doesn't make sense. And you are aware that as a believer, like you can't reason with these people, right? It's impossible. Because they're well on their way down this stream of depravity. And as I mentioned, I mean, as we go through this, this is the wrath of God being revealed. Okay, people eating the fruits of their labor, really. But also this is what we're saved from in Christ. You know, so I don't mean to come across as this is us, that's them. You know, this isn't our issue or whatever. We're coming out of, you know, Christ has positionally brought us out of this, but we are, you know, as we mature, as we sanctify, as the Spirit moves in us, we're growing out of these futile thinkings and hardened, darkened hearts. The foolish heart then, it's already foolish. Note, right? It's already like that's baseline here. It's already foolish because they're suppressing the truth of God. But now it's becoming, God is darkening it even more. It's the further darkening of an already ununderstanding heart. And the heart here is the seat of your mind, will, and emotions. It's like the wellspring of your entire being. Everything you, the way you think, the whole kind of concept, the whole paradigm realm that you think in, what drives your emotions, what drives your desires, that's your heart. I heard it said that if you're looking kind of at the that your heart, like what's in your heart is like what you think about when you don't have anything else to think about. Now that's probably easier for us XY chromosomes to understand that, because I think you ladies have a whole lot of things to be thinking about. But when you're fishing, if you're not thinking about fishing, then what are you thinking about, right? It's kind of like that's what's in your heart. And here everything is fallen. It's dull. It's insensitive to God. So now Tony, he's
question.
Yeah.
And I know where you're talking about, okay, where your thoughts should be, pretty much is related to where your relationship is with the Lord, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Which makes me wonder, you know, we have so many churches anymore that are soaking in the lies, that are turning away from what core beliefs are,
mm-hmm.
and heading in the other direction.
Mm-hmm.
So is that telling us our churches that we thought were really good evangelical Christian churches, they really weren't to begin with? You know, it seems like they're starting to believe this lie. So where are they coming from? I mean, even though they consider themselves evangelical Christians,
mm-hmm.
They're believing the lie.
Yeah.
They're heading in the other direction.
Yeah.
Are they giving in to the pressures? I mean, is it... I don't know. I struggle with that.
Basically, you're asking is, when does the awakening happen to those people that they actually see the light, so to speak?
Well, I thought they
Or the error in their ways.
They appear to have been Christians all along until pressure comes along, I guess is what I'm saying, and then they're not Christians. They're not
right.
really following
right.
the line anymore.
Right.
Their minds are turning and giving in to the lies that we're talking about.
Are they giving in to what's termed the devil at that point? Is that what's happening?
Well, yeah, that's a hard question, I think, to answer on a very
yeah.
broad
just
spectrum, kind of
mind.
Like, no, that's a good question. I mean...
Well,
I guess, go ahead, Jim.
Go back in the Old Testament, when they had judges. Okay. The people who got a good judge, they'd be good
mm-hmm.
for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Then they went bad.
Mm-hmm.
Were they good when they started out? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of generations, you know what I mean? And the church is the same way. A lot of churches were good when they started.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And the people today are the same as the people just back in.
Yeah.
It seems when people are down, you trust in the Lord. As you get more and more, well, I can do this on my own. And that's when we get into trouble.
But they weren't saved.
What's that?
I mean, I don't think they didn't have the Holy Spirit at the time, most of them anyhow. I mean, I guess occasionally they had the Holy Spirit, but most of them weren't really living with the Holy Spirit to lead and guide and direct them as we should be today if we are Christians. You know, they were without that. So I can see them kind of swaying off until the head, you know, until God got them back on track again, but we shouldn't have that excuse. You know, these days we should be led by the Holy Spirit.
But we still... God ain't there, you gotta do this and this. We still have a will.
Yeah, I mean, because of sin, we still are sinners. We can
right.
get off track.
We have the choice.
Yeah, we can still get off track, but
and,
it
I
should
mean,
be less than
the
what.
The devil is right there tempting everybody, you know what I mean? Christian or non-Christian.
Right.
And you have the choice. Either yes, you obey, or no, you don't obey. Or I think I'll obey this much and not that much. But there's a will there. Each person has a will.
All right, this is a whole other can of worms. But.
No, I think that's a good question though, Tom. I don't, you know, you can't answer it on a grand spectrum. Is saying every church, you know, that embraces this, even a little bit, is completely heretical. You know, not a believing church anymore. You're all going to hell kind of thing. As you were, you know, part of what you're saying, it has to do with the leaders. We wouldn't argue that there are that Catholic doctrine, just as another example, Catholic doctrine is not saving doctrine, but there are, you know, maybe a smattering of believers, true believers somewhere within those Catholic churches kind of thing. So, like, an evangelical church that is on this decline, you know, it's not to say that the whole congregation is wicked. But I think this is the culture we live in. So I think maybe sometimes in part we can kind of, even the leaders in the church can undiscerningly kind of follow that way for a time. But if it is the true church, God is always going to bring back. Okay. I was just listening to something about Andy Stanley, Charles Stanley's son. He has a big church down in Atlanta. He several years ago he made comments in a book and sermons that Christians should unhitch themselves from the Old Testament. It's like, oh. And I read a book that he wrote, I had to read it, that he wrote years before that, and I didn't like some things that he wrote. He didn't say anything crazy like that, but you could tell this was getting out of whack, kind of. And then he says this about the Old Testament. Now, just recently, I heard he's preaching on Luke, and he said something like that. Basically, now what he's saying, he's narrowed the Bible kind of down to the Gospels, that Christians should only really focus on God. Now that's a trajectory. You know what I mean? You can see that trajectory. So I don't see how he could be a believer, because that's not the trajectory that the Spirit, you know, maybe, you know, 20 years ago he said something that was too culturally, you know, or, you know, maybe a pastor 20 years ago said something too kind of culturally mushy, you know, that he sounded like he was kind of hopping onto the cultural bandwagon, but now he's come around like that, because God, I don't mean Andy Stanley, I mean just in another example, like God will bring his true church, his believers, right? We all have the Spirit, and Jesus says the Spirit guides you into all, he will guide you into all truth, right? So we're starting off from this point where we're futile in our thinking and our foolish hearts are darkened, okay? And I think the more truth one suppresses, you know, maybe generally speaking, someone who comes to the faith young and is raised in church and memorize all sorts of stuff and is raised in a home of how to be a believer and how to be a, you know, Christian husband or Christian wife, Christian mother and father, that person, I think, has less ground to cover out of the futile in their thinking and a foolish hearts are darkened than someone who was raised in absolute depravity and who lived in absolute depravity and then came to Christ at 55 years old. Because this is a downward trajectory, like it gets worse and worse and worse, you know, the futile mind, the darkened heart, and the idolatry, as we see the foolishness, they kind of have more ground to cover out of that. To get under now the Lord, he makes us new, and he makes us new, I think, and to different, some people cover that ground a lot faster by the grace of God than others, but I guess now I'm getting off into a different subject.
This time we're in as a cleansing of the churches, you know, where God is revealing the true churches. In certain ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, showing us which ones are true. It almost sounds like the parable to me of the seed and the rocks and.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was brought to my mind when you asked the question.
We can pretend to be Christians really easy mm-hmm. until things get really tough.
Right.
Until you have to wear your FBI hat in public.
You're really selling that. Are you getting profit off of those,
you know,
Tom, or what?
We need to have a club with these caps.
You could probably sell them to the Bible Institute.
You could.
That would be a step in sharing your faith. How to get by a little bit at a time of showing people who you are, you know? Wear your FBI cap. Yeah. I've been trying to sell these to the kids at Good News Club.
Yes.
But, I mean, it almost seems that way. God's revealing who the true Christians are because, you know, the parable. There's not many left after you go through the rocks and the bushes and till you get to the fertile earth. And he says, you know, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that mm-hmm. just makes me think there's not near as many Christians out there as you think. True.
No, right. Yeah.
I think he's revealing to us who they are. And I think that's good in a way because, like you said, it's a lot of the leaders. So if there's true Christians in those churches, they should be looking.
Mm-hmm.
They should be moving on, you know,
mm-hmm.
and standing firm in what they believe.
Right.
Because so many people and so many, you know, my daughter is a dean at Karen University, and she says they're falling left and right, colleges. You know, they're moving to the woke. She says, it's hard to find a college anymore that isn't in some way moving that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think God's just cleansing, showing, hey, you got to go this way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm revealing to you who the true Christians are here. You
mm-hmm.
better start thinking about this.
Yeah.
Tom, yeah. I think you answered your own question. Sounded like you did to me.
Donna and I were talking about this on the way home from Friedensburg last week, it's to the point where you're not going to be able to just try to stay in the middle of the road, you know.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
The lines are being drawn, and
And you're going to be persecuted for this thing, you think?
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay because that's what the Bible teaches us. We got to be ready for that. You got to rejoice when you suffer for Christ. That's what it's all
right.
about. Give Him glory.
Mm-hmm.
What does He think about that?
That
He loves that.
Be easy, Tom. Is it going to be easy?
I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but here's just one little step. But because sometimes you're going to have to take a bigger step. So if you took the first step, it's easier to take the second step.
Mm-hmm. Right. Come tomorrow and Sunday, and we'll probably look at some of those things.
So what you're saying is all the good people wear the white hats and the ones who wear the black hats in the movies, right?
Yeah.
Well, I'm saying I think God's cleansing us and showing us who the true believers are and helping us to know who we are and who isn't who we think they are. And
mm-hmm.
and giving us some direction in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Especially those people caught up, who are true believers and are caught up in a church or something that is moving the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I think he's revealing to them, you better make some decisions here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some tough ones sometimes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it ain't about, it ain't about, you know, oh, worship is so great or, you know, now things are getting real, and
yeah.
I think people, the church, the you know, people are seeing that.
No, it ain't easy. I probably fail a lot more than anybody else, but you got to think about it.
Well, when you say too, like there's not as many Christians around as you thought. Okay. Didn't Elijah say that too?
Yeah. Was it 5,000? Was it 5,000?
Yeah. It's more than what you think.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not saying you're wrong, but you know what I mean.
Well, I think he means, you know, the, what, 60 or 70% of people on a Gallup poll who identify as Christian. I think that's what he's getting at.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm also getting that, not us, because I think we have good leadership, but I'm also getting at, I think it's a time where people should be paying attention to what their leaders in their churches are teaching them. Mm-hmm. And when they're starting to move in the direction that our culture is telling them they should move, and we should be moving that way, they should be moving another direction.
Just like the teachers, right? What they're teaching in school, and now the parents are stepping forward to get the right education rather than what they are, what the liberals are pushing with the, what is it, the CR.
Yeah,
that's not easy for them either to go up in front of a school board.
Exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
It's time the silent majority starts talking.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You want what's right for your kids,
right?
And we are the majority. That's the sad part.
At least on a Gallup poll. Yeah. But no, and part of, I mean, well, this is fresh in my mind because this is what we're going to hear on Sunday too, but the kingdom grows, right? So I think what the Gallup poll says compared to what God says in his poll, I don't know. I'm sure there's a discrepancy there, but I think the percentage of believers does increase as time goes on. We're going to look at Psalm 22, and towards the end, it says that the coastlands are coming to, all the nations are flocking to Christ, basically. We've seen that. The increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. So he's increasing, right? The coastlands are waiting for his law, Isaiah, I think, 42. The parable of the wheat and the weeds. Remember that, Matthew 13, Jesus, the farmer God plants the wheat, and then the devil comes and sows the weeds. And what does Jesus say, right? Let them both mature. The kingdom of Christ is maturing along as the kingdom of Satan is maturing as well, in a way. They're both maturing, right? So believers are I think as time goes on since the cross and the resurrection, as time goes on, the church is growing is growing in knowledge. We have an understanding of the Trinity, right? The first 200 years of, at least they didn't have that word, Trinity. Not that, you know, we got further revelation or anything, but as far as, we have I think we have a better developed, better understanding of the doctrines of Christ. So we're building off the foundation of those who have gone before us, but the kingdom is expanding, the kingdom is growing, and that's the trajectory that we're on. But yet also, right, evil grows and buds as well alongside of us. That's why when we did that Sunday school a little while ago, I said we are in the millennium and we are in the tribulation. And we're in both. I forget where I was going with that. But anyway, let's get back to finish up this last verse. So Tony then, he foolish hearts were darkened. Tony's 10 steps further away from God. In the beginning, right, as a kid, he was going to church and all that stuff. He wasn't too far, but now he's on this downward spiral. Now it's amplified, isn't it? Right, he was always estranged from God and in dead in trespasses and sins, but now it's like amplified, it's being made known, it's intensified in a way. as people get older, as sinners, unbelievers get older. Now, we often say that when you get older, you get smarter and wiser, right? As you mature. But I don't think that's not what Paul's saying. He's actually saying the opposite, isn't he? Outside of Christ, the sinner becomes more and more futile in their thinking, with a more and more darkened heart as they continue to suppress the truth about God. So everyone outside of Christ, they don't progress. They regress. You go ahead, Jim.
Well, you say everybody outside don't progress. Okay.
Yeah.
You're talking about spiritual things.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, a 2-year-old doesn't know that 2 + 2 = 4, but
right. And the same way people outside, they progress. I mean, you go for an education, hey, they get more. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
More knowledge. But spiritual things, they don't. If you're not saved, you don't grow spiritually. Otherwise, I mean.
Yeah, or any the ability to answer like big life questions. You know, like you talk, to an old guy out who's not a believer, and he'll, you know, be all sagely like and saying to his grandson, you know, when you get married, your wife's going to give you all kinds of problems, but you do what you want. You know, I mean, chances are maybe you're not going to hear that from your grandfather, but you're going to hear maybe not from your grandparents, but you've heard stuff like that, right? That old, you know, guru who's been around the block a few times and he thinks he knows the ways of the world, even though he doesn't. He's not a believer, and the stuff he says, it's like, what? Like, you're 75 years old or whatever, and this is how you think life works? That's what I mean. Like, yeah, a 55-year-old machinist is going to know, hopefully he's going to know how to run a machine better than a 20-year-old machinist. You know what I mean? I don't mean stuff like that, but as far as the things of life goes, they're going to progress. And Paul says here, claiming to be wise, right? They became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal. Yeah, I'm using my print-off notes here, and it's on another page. Mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. So we fall deeper and deeper into this illusion, as opposed to understanding the reality of God. So in refusing to pay homage to God when his works are recognized, right? We don't honor him or give thanks to him. People claim to be acquiring wisdom in that, right? As in, it's more wise to believe that God is not real. Now, we've heard that a few times, particularly since the Enlightenment, also, haven't we? It's more wise to believe that God's not real. Christians are just fools. Christians are prehistoric, right? Ancient morons, okay, who are God is dead. I think Nietzsche, philosopher, said God is dead. We don't, as in civilization has advanced to the point where we don't need God to answer questions, okay, as far as where did I come from, where am I going, how did I get here, what am I supposed to do in life, what's the meaning, purpose, how do I live my life, what's morality, all those things. God is dead. We don't need him because we've advanced. Right? Claiming to be wise, And notice the way that people talk about Christians. Watch a movie or a TV show, right? And it, I mean, chances are, if there's a Christian in it, it's what? A Catholic priest who's an absolute dunce or a drunk. No comment. Yeah, but that's how they're claiming to be wise, but in reality they're fools, unbelievers. And now notice, this is in the upper echelons of society, right? Isn't it? This isn't just a minority who is down trying to make a go of it somewhere. This is the higher ups. This is government, academia, right? Corporate America. And this is the wrath of God being revealed. Right? You live as an idiot. That's the wrath of God in your life, is you live as an idiot. You're granted that privilege. You eat the fruit, the rotten fruit of your folly. The wrath of God is being revealed. One pastor, it might have been John MacArthur, I'm not sure. I think he preached on this, and one of the times he preached on it, he called it the downfall of a nation, or he titled it the downfall of a nation, or God's wrath on a nation. And that's what it is. When these people come into the upper echelons of society, God's wrath is being poured out not on an individual, but on the whole culture, on the whole nation, when these people take positions of influence and authority, because in a large part a bunch of fools put them in power, at least in our case. No comment. but yes, that is how it goes. And if you want an Old Testament example of that, read Isaiah chapter 3. He talks about God's the judgment of God on a nation, and you can definitely see some things in here that how they're related. And what is this foolishness? They claiming to be wise, they became fools. What's this foolishness? It's idolatry, isn't it? It's an exchange. Exchange the glory of the immortal God for images resembling all that other stuff. Okay? So, it's idolatry. The foolishness is not only refusing the true God, right? But now if you just refuse the true God, now you can't be in a vacuum, right? They say nature abhors a vacuum. Now you refuse the true God, you also have to embrace false gods. Secularism, right? Atheism. I guess we could call it so-called atheism. Right? Like they call it so-called gay marriage because it's not real. So we could call it so-called atheism because it's not legit. Those things are seen as the most knowledgeable, the most wise, the most enlightened. But in reality, it's the most foolish, isn't it? I mean, at least in a way, theistic religions claim some kind of God, but there's always a God somewhere when you look at it. Secularism, atheism, there's always a God, and it's often the person or some vision of a greater humanity or something like that. But in their foolishness, people have chosen to worship men and beasts instead of basking in the glory of the immortal God. It's seriously like as you are, you think, oh, I'm hungry for some ice cream, right? So this is how, to be blunt, how stupid it is, right? Idolatry, okay? Suppressing the truth of the reality in my unrighteousness and going for a mock-up. Okay, something that's a fake, a mimic of it. So I'm really hungry for ice cream. So I drive down straight past the ice cream shop to the toy store and buy a plastic ice cream cone. That's idolatry, right? That's what Paul's saying here. You're driving past the ice cream shop. Nope, see you later, ice cream shop. I'm going for something better. Plastic ice cream cone. Became fools. Okay, this and this idolatry then, as we'll find out, is the whole basis for the panoply of sins that plague humanity, as we'll see then in verse 28, 29, 30, as this is a spiral. This is where we're moving down the kind of the foundation of the, or down the climbing down the rungs of the spiral into further and further depravity here. So so Tony then, he's latched on to whatever theory he piqued his interest, and so he now his God is himself, but nowadays it's not cool. That's not always so cool. So he's gonna go work for a non-profit because now that's cool. Or at least it used to be a couple years ago. He's gonna work for a non-profit that specializes in making sure that you can't build or run underground wires or piping through a certain habitat because of this one turtle that lives there. So that's now his God. That's his cause. Not that we are to care for the world, and I don't, you know, sometimes I think people go a little too far with on both sides of that. That's the trajectory, or the God is himself, the God is the people, the God is society, and his vision of a greater world, or whatever it may be. So what do you guys have, any what thoughts or questions do you guys have? We'll run down further next week. I mean, Paul's pretty right on, isn't he? Like, he gets you right in there. It's almost as if he wrote this last week. But, all right, then, Tom, would you pray for us to close?